Good morning, everybody. Welcome here. Wonderful to see you all here. I hope you all had a nice holiday. Amen. I hope some of you rested. And I know all the locals are tired. It is harvest time for us. I'm glad all the businesses were so full and doing good. But all the locals, we are going to go on holiday now, hey? And while the rest are going back to your place of destination, we hope you travel safely. But thank you for spending this time with us. I hope you had a good rest and that you're refreshed and looking forward to a good year. Amen. Let's just pray before I preach, and let's trust the Lord for some awesome things in our lives as He's been speaking to us all throughout the service. Father, we just so thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, who came to give us life and life in abundance, Father. And we just this morning, God, want to fix our eyes on You, Jesus, and look to You. God, You are the author and the finisher of our faith, God. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please You, God. So this morning, we commit our hearts to You, and we ask that You will speak to us, Lord. And Lord, we thank You for your word, Lord, that the interest of Your word gives light and makes the simple wise, God. So this morning, God, we ask, open our eyes, give us revelation, cause us to see Jesus this morning. Holy Spirit, we welcome You as our guest of honor and just pray that You will take these words, God, and bring life and bring hope into people's hearts, Father. And You will change us, God. Father, we are tired of being the same, God. We want to be changed from glory to glory and from strength to strength. Help us to see You, God. Lord, because we know if we see You, God, we will be changed forever. So we thank You for being us, for being here, God. Thank You for just standing in Your presence, for being with us, Father, in this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, at the beginning of this year, I've got some good news for the local church family that my wife is pregnant again. That's with our second child, but many people say it's twins. I don't know if it's second or third, but I hope it's just one. So thanks for those who prayed for us. Our close friends know it's been a journey for us to get pregnant again, especially for me going through a health thing, and God really healed me. But it is due time, eh? Amen. So God's timing is perfect. So we're expecting a baby in August. So you can just send the gifts, send the money, send the nappy so long. It will be all received. Gladly, okay? If you dream about me, know is that you must give something to me. Don't just pray, give. What's the guy in church says? Who? Not this. My friend, man, Michelle's husband. Greg says, don't send me love, send me money. So that's what I'm saying. Don't send me love, send me money. But before we start this morning, I want to just read us something that came into my emails, a little story. It says, one day, a certain man decided to skip church one Sunday so he could spend the day hiking in the mountains. Running a sharp bend in the trail, he collided with a bear and was sent tumbling down a steep hill. He landed on a rock and broke both his legs. Say, ay no. Ay no. With a ferocious bear charging after him from a distance, the man quickly prayed, oh Lord, I'm so sorry for skipping church today. Please forgive me and grant me just one wish. Make a Christian out of that bear that is coming after me. And at that very instant, the bear stopped in his tracks, fell to his knees, clapped his paws together, and began praying aloud at the man's feet. Dear God, please bless the food I'm about to receive. So guys, I thought that was quite funny, but I'm glad that you are all in church this morning, eh? And you're not out there food for some bear or some shark on the beach, amen? But as I know our family, I know that none of you would ever skip church, eh? You're all here every Sunday, faithful, serving the Lord. Now, as we start, I want to ask us, who of you wants 2016 to be different than last year? Most of us. The rest of us can please come forward and pray for us, because your year is amazing. But I believe most of us want this year to be better, even though last year was a great year for many of us. For me personally as well, it's been one of the best years of my life in every dimension. But this morning, I want to share with you a very simple message, but one I believe it's got the power and potential to really change your life. If you grasp hold of what God wants to say to us this morning, then your life will never be the same. And I'm going to show you examples from Scripture of people whose lives changed because of what I'm going to say to you this morning. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready for this? Are you ready to change? Then tell your neighbor, buckle up, because we're going on a roller coaster. We're going not to the beach, not to the mountains, because there's bears. Amen? So read with me here to start off in Zechariah chapter 8, where the prophet says to us, people of Judah and Israel, you have been accursed
to the nations, but I will save you and make you a blessing to them. So don't be afraid or lose heart. Now for us, the New Testament, we must take that and interpret that as the house of Israel and Judah. That speaks to us as the church today. God says he doesn't want us to be a curse anymore or a byword, or if you walk into a party or into a room at your office, then people start to make jokes about you as the Christian. God says, no. I want to save you and make you a blessing again in all the earth. And guys, this scripture reveals to us a big desire in God's heart to make us as his people different. He wants the world to experience us different in every dimension. And the prophet Zechariah tells us, he says, listen here, the reason are you going to be different is when God blesses you to become a blessing. So God wants to bring change in our lives that people are not making jokes of it anymore. He wants to bless us so much that the world will experience us differently in every dimension. And I think for many of us, people around us and our families need to experience us different in this new year. So the question arises then, what is a blessing? What does it mean to be blessed? Now, a blessing is like an accountant, it's like a sportsman, it's like an actor. It may sound funny to you, but an actor is only a person who acts something out. A sportsman is a person who does sports, amen? An accountant is a person that does accountancy. And in the same way, a blessing is someone who does blessing. And the doing of a blessing we call invoking of a blessing or invocation of a blessing. And that's the big word I want to build my message around this morning is the invocation of blessing. Because that is the person who does blessing. And God wants to make us that so we can do that in this new year. And in Afrikaans, it's called, for those Afrikaans, it's called the oproep van een seën. But it refers basically to speaking or declaring God's will and purposes over someone's life in prayer. It's not that religious act where a minister says, I bless you and keep you and then go. It's not a religious thing to do. God wants to make it part of our lives every single day, wherever we go. And I'm going to show you stories this morning of ordinary people that has embraced this principle and has walked with him, and their lives and their generations after this life changed forever. Because God doesn't want us to be a byword or a joke anymore. He wants us to make a blessing in this new year. Amen? So today I want to talk about this. And afterwards I want us to practice this. This message is going to be very, very practical afterwards for all of us. And I want us to practice to pray a blessing over ourselves and our neighbors before we leave this morning. So the Bible gives us two beautiful examples which I could find in this week about invoking a blessing. And the first one is found in Genesis chapter 24. And this is a story of Isaac that needs a wife, okay? And Abram sends his son, sends his servant to go and fetch him a wife. And his servant prays, say, God, help me, lead me, and please, I must be successful, otherwise, you know, what is my master going to do? And he ends up at the house of Rebecca. And there he shares the story, and your father says, listen here, then this must be God, so please, take my daughter. But the amazing thing is, before she left, her family sat her down and prayed a blessing over her life. And here in verse 60, it says, and they, the family, blessed Rebecca and said to her, you are our sister. May you become a mother of thousands and ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. A powerful, powerful blessing. And the second example is found in Genesis 27. And this story is of Isaac, which grew old, and he wanted to impart the blessing of the firstborn to his son Esau. But what happened then, instead of that, he ended up blessing Jacob. And we all know the story. And here in verse 27, his father says, and Jacob came near and kissed his dad, and he smelled, and his dad smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed, referring to his thinking it's Esau. Therefore, my God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of earth and the plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow to you. Be master over your brethren and let your brothers, mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Here we see two powerful examples of the power of invoking a blessing on somebody's life. And guys, for us as church, there are truths locked into these stories which I want to ask the Holy Spirit to show to us, because this will really change your life in the way you live forward and the way you engage God and situations at your work and with your family, wherever you go. Because God wants to make you a blessing in every sphere of life where you find yourself. Because you're his hands, you're his feet in that environment. Now, with the first story of Rebecca, we see a very ordinary family like all of us. Children, dads, uncle, nephews have a great time. But the amazing thing about this family of Rebecca, they understood the power of blessing. You see, they were different because instead of worrying and stressing before a marriage like all of our ladies does, what am I going to wear? Who's the guest? What's the food? Who's the photographer? Am I thin enough for my dress? This family did not stress. They were different. They didn't worry where she was going. They didn't worry who's she going to take with her. They instead sat her down before she went and they blessed her. And said, my daughter, you be the mother of many. May your descendants possess the gates of those who hate you. And it is here where the modern Christian miss this family. It's here where this modern Christian don't understand what is happening with what they're doing. And the reason is because we as modern or westernized Christianity, we don't value the blessing of the Lord anymore. We don't value the prophetic word of God spoken over our lives anymore. And we miss these moments where God wants to impart life to us that will change our destinies forever. You see, and I find myself in the same equation. We many times become the biggest experts of being critical towards one another. In our families I'm talking about. Or even to our church, or churches, or businesses, or bosses, or whatever. We become the biggest experts of being negative. And do you know what? In those moments of being negative, we actually are cursing one another. And we are not blessing one another. And God wants to change that for us. And my prayer this morning is that we will really ask the Lord to allow us to walk in this power of blessing, to in a way activate it in us, so we can have our eyes open, so we can see the potential in somebody and really speak it out over their lives. And in a way, this message is linked to my message a few months ago, where I spoke about faith speaks, where this is the language of faith. Faith speaks truth intentionally. We cannot be silent, lemon-drinking Christians the whole time. God bless you. No. We must light up, have our mouths open, and speak the word of the Lord. Amen? Because God wants you to be a blessing so you can be a blessing to others. Amen? And in the second story with Isaac, now remember Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. One was the mommy's boy, Jacob, and one was father's boy, daddy's boy, Esau. It's like me, let's not go there. I don't have a brother, so I cannot say anything. But I can say that Alan is his mama's boy and his brother is his father's boy. No, I'm joking. Now, Jacob, guys, like we know, was a schemer, okay? And through his mom's help, he endeavored to steal his brother's blessing, okay? And as Jacob was going to his father with his brother's clothes on, remember, Jacob was his mama's boy. He didn't have a lot of hair. He was in the kitchen the whole time, around the house. Nothing wrong with that. But he had to disguise himself. So he put skins of animals on him. So his father touched him and his father smelled. Listen, yeah, I smell the smell of field, the fragrance of the field. So this must be my son Esau. And at the moment when he smelled, the Bible says, you can just put that up for me. When his father smelled it, what happened was his spiritual eyes opened and he started speaking a blessing over Jacob. And the rest knows history, but Esau was very angry with his brother. But the amazing thing to me is, guys, Scripture says that every time after Jacob came near sheep, they just started to multiply. You remember the story with his uncle Laban? Made him in charge of the farmers, but everything just changed. And the amazing thing, the extraordinary thing to me was, remember this, Jacob had no experience of farming in his life. Up to that very moment when his father prayed a blessing over him, he became a very successful and a wealthy farmer. And then Bible says, when he gets to sheep, they just multiply. Speckles want this side, plain wants this side. And Laban gets jealous and he runs away from Laban because he thinks he's going to kill him. But something in his Jacob's life changed because of the blessing of the Lord. He was different. And God's heart for us is to be different in this year towards people we experience because God's blessing is upon our lives. But it needs to be invoked upon us. So I want us to just know two things from the story of Isaac. First of all, the power of invoking a blessing. Guys, it will change your life. Like it did with Rebecca. Like it did with Isaac. Like it did with Joshua. Like it did with all the patriarchs and the apostles. It will do that. Because the blessing of God is stronger than any curse. Do you know that? Now the second example for us as a church is the example of Isaac, where Isaac smelled and he spoke. And that to me is a prophetic picture of the prophetic ministry that God wants to restore in our midst, in your life. Where you come to somebody and you pray for them and you start smelling what God has put on their lives. And when you smell it, you start to declare that over their lives, and their lives will be changed. It's not wish-wash thinking and then just blessing. No, it's God allowing you to smell through the Holy Spirit and then to speak through the Spirit of God, and lives will be changed. And God wants to do that for every single one of us. Not some of us. Every one of us can do that if we just ask the Lord to activate us in this area. Amen? So Jacob and Isaac and Rebekah. Now the word in Scripture for bless, okay, just to help you, means, first of all, in the Hebrew, is the word barach. Okay, you can write this on the screen here. Which literally means to bend the knee. Okay, it means, barach means to bend the knee. Okay, but it's more important for us symbolically as a church, because that really speaks of positioning ourselves correctly before God in order to receive and to give a blessing. For example, you remember the story in 1 Samuel 16 when Samuel went to David to anoint him as king. He was a little boy looking after his father's sheep. And Samuel came and looked at all the seven sons. Oh, no. Oh, it must be the oldest son. And God says, no, no, no. I don't judge according to what I see. I judge according to what's in the heart of man. And he called David and he poured oil on him. And David had to position himself correctly before the prophet to receive the blessing or the anointing of kingship. So in other words, barach means that we must learn to position ourselves to receive a blessing. That to us is a foreign thing, but I'm going to explain this morning to you. In the second place, barach also speaks of the honor principle, where we learn as a church to speak up to somebody in order to bless them. Okay? And God again shows us this. He illustrates to us this principle in Genesis chapter 1, where God came down to man, where God condescended down to earth, and God spoke a blessing over all creation and over mankind. Read with me in Genesis chapter 1. It says there, verse 22, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. Then 28, it says, then God blessed them, that's not Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion of the fish of the sea, of the birds of the air, and of every living thing that moves on the earth. Now I want you to note here that both those words in the Hebrew is the word barach. So what it says here is God, as it were going down to man, and God were kneeling and speaking a blessing over mankind. And the same principle, if you wonder about this, can be seen in the New Testament with Jesus, with the incarnation of Christ. As it were, God coming down onto man's level and speaking a blessing over humanity. Guys, God couldn't change because God understands the barach principle. You see, God could have saved us from out of heaven because nothing is impossible with God. Amen? God could have done anything. He could say, listen, you know, mankind, be saved. Bah, with a wonder staff. But no. He sent his son to us to show us, listen, yeah, that I understand the barach principle because I want to bless mankind. I will reposition myself in order to speak a blessing. So that is what it means for you this morning to be blessing. It means to go down onto someone else's level and so that you can speak up to them in a way to honor them. It means that you go down onto someone else's level. We cannot walk with pride in our hearts anymore, thinking that we are better than somebody else because of their skin color or their status or their payroll or whatever. No. We will walk in humility, God wants from us, and we will go down to someone and speak to them in a way that will build them up, that will honor them. We will do as God did to us, the ones who did not deserve it. Amen? God spoke to us in His love and in His mercy. Now, the second definition for the word bless comes from the New Testament word eulogia, okay? Eulogia. And this means to speak well of, to praise, or to exalt, to give thanks, as it were. And it's from this word where we get our English word eulogy from. And one thing I've noted in the ministry for a while now is that in our society, we unfortunately have lost the meaning of this word. We only use this word at funerals, when somebody is already dead. And the sad thing for me is that the person they're speaking about cannot receive any blessing because they're already in the grave. But from God's perspective, guys, this morning, God wants us to renew our minds. God wants eulogy to take place when somebody is still alive. When they can receive and hear and be and live out the blessing like Rebecca did. And she became awesome. You see, we must become like her family that understood the power of eulogy by blessing one another while we are still alive. Not when we're already in the grave. That helps nothing. And the result of that blessing over her life made Rebecca a woman of influence throughout all generations. Because the power of blessing is binding upon generations. It grows, it gets momentum, and it multiplies. And we all here this morning sit as evidence to the fact that the blessing of Rebecca is still being outlived throughout all the earth today. We are her descendants that are being possessing the gates of those who hate us. Amen? We are the mothers of thousands that are birthing children for God. We are her descendants. This blessing goes from generation to generation because God has put it in motion. But He needs you in the chain to continue that boat. To continue that blessing unto your children, your generations. Amen? God wants to be a blessing, not a curse in the nations. This year He wants your life to be blessed in every dimension. Amen? But we need to barach. We need to embrace eulogy. To start speaking and extolling, even thanks to what God wants for our lives. Just to give you another example of a man who I admire tremendously. Who understood the principle and power of the blessing was a man by the name Jonathan Edwards. Now, he was a powerful, powerful preacher and revivalist in America during the 1700s. You can go and read on him on any Google page. He did amazing things. Part of the Great Awakening movements. God has used him in ministry. I trust that God will use me in the same way in his example. But Jonathan Edwards had 11 children, okay? And he had the habit of, when he was at home, to set them down in a chair and just bless his children, to pray over them every single day before they went to sleep. And a man named A.M. Winscombe, he was a preacher and a journalist. In 1900, he did research, and he tracked 1,400, just listen to these stats, he tracked 1,400 descendants to Jonathan Edwards. And in his study, he revealed the following. From his marriage to his wife, there came 13 noted authors. There came 13 college presidents. There came 65 college professors. There came 100 lawyers, 30 judges, 56 physicians, 80 holders of public office, 3 United States senators, 1 vice president of the United States, 1 controller of the USAA Treasury, and 300 Christian ministers. Guys, the power of blessing. It is very, very, very powerful. God wants us to start this year differently. With the blessing of the Lord. Amen? If it's Rebecca or Isaac or Jacob or Jonathan or me or whoever, if you speak it over somebody's life, it will change your life forever. Look at this modern day example. I bet you he never thought that this would have the impact through his life. We were just praying for 11 children, doing the ordinary thing every night, but invoking the blessing of God upon his kid's life. Powerful, eh? Powerful. And I think it's time that you start walking in this truth as a church of Jesus Christ. Now, just to clarify just something, eulogy or eulogio does not mean to give somebody just good wishes. To say, listen here, good luck with the exam, or good luck with the business deal, or in Afrikaans we say, go for the first booty for the exam. No. That's not eulogy. That's not what God means from a biblical point of view, what eulogy means. Eulogy, rather, is a prophetic decree that is made by somebody with authority and faith that when he says it, he believes it will come to pass. It's a prophetic declaration. It's a word you speak from heaven to earth. And that word, the Bible says, cannot return void. It will accomplish for what God sends it out to do. Look at Rebecca's life. Jonathan Edwards is saying this. It did accomplish a tremendous things. The earth experienced them as blessings throughout the ages. And God wants to put that seed in your heart so you can be a blessing again. Now, number 6, verse 22, it gives us a powerful example of this eulogy. It says here in verse 22, and most of you guys know this, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the Aaron and his sons. This is the way you should bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Most of us pray this prayer often. We know this from our younger days.
But the context here, guys, is the following. God is giving a command to Moses how the priests should bless the children of Israel. To apply this New Testament way, it says the following. Or I want to ask you the following. Who of you know who are the priests of God in the New Testament? You can tell me. Who is the new priest? Are they living somewhere with long robes? Where are they? Yeah, it's you. It's me. It's all of us. The church of God is the priests of God. Revelation 1:6 says, God has made us priests and kings unto our God. First Peter 2:6 says, God has made, chosen you. He's made you a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Guys, we are the church of God. As a believer in Christ, you have the authority as a priest to bless other people. Remember, eulogy is the prophetic declaration from somebody with authority and faith. You are that person because you're the priest of God. You can do it. And God is saying to us here through Numbers that if we as the priest of God would bless people, then He would come alongside us and He will do His part. Do you know what God's part is? This is a powerful scripture, guys. God says when we as the priest of God bless somebody else, God says, as you do that, Yahweh is the priest, I will come alongside you and I will do your, and I will do my part. It's for example, it's like Moses at the Red Sea. God says, here comes the Philistines. God, what must I do? God says, what's in your hand? Strike the water and the water opened. Moses had to partner with God and God at his part. The miraculous. And God says, listen, it's saying the same here. If you do your part in eulogy, in speaking, in barakking unto people, God will do his part. And verse 27 gives us the answer. He says there, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. What will God do when we bless people? He will put His name upon somebody else. That is awesome, guys. That means when God says He will do that, it means He will make a covenant of blessing with everybody that we put His blessing upon. It means you bring people into the covenant of blessing, which Abraham was part of, which Jacob was part of, which Rebecca became part of. And it works like this, if you don't understand. It works like this. When I married Carmen, before I married Carmen, sorry, her surname was Van der Merwe. I know, you can laugh later. Van der Merwe jokes. But when I married her and we made covenant, her surname changed. She's no longer Van der Merwe, she's now Kutsia. And by taking on my name, I placed my name upon her in covenant. By doing that, I've said, Lord, I'm taking complete responsibility of Carmen's life so that I can be a blessing unto her. That's what marriage does. So this covenant of blessing means if you as a priest of God bless somebody else, God will come and bind him to that person as it were. He comes to take responsibility of that person to bless him by putting his name upon him. Isn't that powerful? The covenant of blessing. So God wants you to start invoking blessing on people. Obviously, being led by the Spirit. So God can come and take control of the situation and put His name upon them and bless them, and His life and their lives will be changed. Again, I want to say to you, the blessing of the Lord is stronger than any curse. Now, in Genesis 12, we find a powerful example of this covenant blessing which God made with Abraham. And again, as I read this, you're going to see the Barach principle again wingled into the Scriptures here. And I want you to look at this. Genesis 12 verse 1 says, and now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, Abram, and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. There it comes out again. I will bless you, bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, you shall be blessed. Now again, most of us knows this scripture. But what God is saying to Abram is, Abram, my son, I love you dearly. But I want you to move out of the place we are living now because I can't bless you there. You must move out. Abram, you need to reposition yourself before me in order to receive the blessing that I have for you. Abram, you need to barach. Remember, barach means what? To position yourself correctly for God to receive a blessing or to give one. Abram, move out, please. Reposition yourself before me because this is not going to work. And today, as the church, I just sense that it is here where many of us struggle. Many of us need to move out from where we're living and operating now and move to a place where God wants to bless us. And you see, this move will maybe be to you sacrificially, or it's going to be challenging to you, but so it was to Abram. He had to leave his family behind him and just go to where he don't know where God is going to lead him. And it's going to be challenging for some of us, but God says, it's your choice. If you want the blessing, go. If you don't want it, stay. And the reason why God puts this choice before us is because God wants to bless us in the same way He has blessed Abram. Guys, Abram was an amazing guy. He's the father of our faith. And his fame was so tremendous, people feared him far away. Because they knew that the blessing of the Lord was upon that man. Well, God is saying this morning, if you want the blessing that was on Abram's life, then you will have to do what Abram did. You see, this is where faith comes in. We need to act before God and say, God, I want what Abram did or had, but then I must do what Abram did by moving out, by repositioning myself before God and say, God, here I am, in barach position before you, please bless me, God. Because I want to be a blessing unto the nations. Amen? Are you guys still following me? Now, this may sound outrageous, but why do you think that God wants to bless you in this new year? There's a lot of reasons, but one I found here in Deuteronomy 7, which is, just blows my mind. It says here in verse 7, the Lord had not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all people, but because the Lord loves you. And because you would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh. Therefore, know that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. And I listen to this blessing in verse 13. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain, your new wine, your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give. You shall be, again, listen to this, you'll be a blessed above all peoples. You shall not be, there shall not be a male nor female servant barren among you or in your livestock. And the Lord will take away all the sicknesses from Israel, which afflicted you, and lay them on those who hate you. Guys, the reason why God wants to bless us is not because we are more prettier or nicer or fancier than anybody else. It's just because God loves us. That to me is humbling. That to me is awesome. You see, God is a good God. And He's motivated in all His ways through love. And that's why His heart cannot but bless us. He cannot, but He wants to shower us with His goodness. And you see, therefore I believe in the prosperity gospel. I really do. Do you know why? Because I don't believe in the poverty gospel. Because God says He wants to bless me in every dimension of my life. Your cattle, your new wine, your oil, your everything. Jacob, wherever you go, I want you to be blessed above all peoples. God is a prosperous God, amen? That's simple to me. So that's the first reason why God wants to bless, because God loves. But there's a second very important reason why God also wants to bless us. And that is, God wants to bless us because He wants us to bless Him back. Now this sounds strange, but let me explain to you this. Matthew 7 says the following. It's called the golden rule in Scripture. It says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now guys, the first area in your life where you need to be a blessing is the area unto God Himself. We are called as Christians to first be a blessing unto God through worship. That is our highest calling in this life. Who can say amen with that? There's nothing greater you can do as to stand in God's presence and to worshiping like we did this morning, or at your house, or in your car, wherever. And the reason for that is because God, like I said earlier, made you a priest unto God. And remember, a priest's first function is always to minister unto God first, in worship. Then we need to represent God to man. But our first ministry is to burn incense before the altar and say, God, we worship you, we bring incense to you, we praise you, God. Doesn't matter what season we're going through, that is our call to become worshippers of God. And that's why Jesus could say, the Father is looking for worshippers that will worship Him in spirit and truth. Jesus knew this. That's why He said this in John 4, the Father is looking for worshippers. Not businessmen, not fancy stuff, worshippers. That's our first area of life when we need to bless and minister God to. And the reason for that is, guys, is because the cycle of blessing, this covenant blessing, is activated through demonstrative worship in our lives. And by that I mean where we feel free to lift our hands before God. Where we feel free to kneel before God. Where we feel to just lay before God in His presence. Or to dance before Him. Whatever God is saying to us. Then that cycle of blessing is being activated in our lives. And for me, what I see in churches, it is here where it gets challenging to many believers.
Because we are not many times willing to make physical moves in God's presence in order to reposition ourselves so that we can receive a blessing from God. This is where the tire hits the ground. Many of us resist our Holy Spirit here. Because it's, for example, when we worship like this morning, and God said, Yaku, drop to your knees. And I don't do that. Then do you know what? I will miss God in that moment. I will miss a place where I can be rach with God and He can actually bless me. It's being sensitive and following the lead of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I want to encourage you this morning. Know that God wants to bless us this year because, number one, because He loves us. Okay? But more than that, God needs us first to take on the position of humility in order to receive Him. God says He resists the proud. He keeps them at arm's length. But He welcomes the humble. He showers them with grace. And this Barach principle speaks of coming to a place of humility and say, God, You are my God. I worship You, God. There's nobody else like You in my life. And when you're in the place of humility, God says, then I can pour out my blessing upon you. Because you're actually there to receive and receptive for who I am. So I want to encourage you guys, as you go back to your house in this week and work this year, in your quiet time, I want to ask you, assume the position of humility before God. Take on the posture of a worshiper. Whatever the Lord tells you, just do that. Don't be stiff and religious. God sees our hearts. He wants us to just be ourselves in His presence. Amen? And experience the wonder of just lying on the ground before God. And just hearing your own breath. You see, in those moments where God, you hear God's whisper, where you receive new strength to face that challenge at work or to address that issue with your colleague. God is awesome. But God has called us, first of all, to be worshipers. Amen? So to conclude, can the band come up first? The band, Liefie, can you go up? So to conclude, the first area, guys, as a Christian, we need to exercise blessing as unto God because we're a priest. The second area of blessing we need to exercise today is self-invocation. It's where we bless ourselves. And it's here where I want us all of us to become practical. Okay? And David explains this self-invocation. He says here in Psalm 67, he says, God, may God be merciful to us and bless us. And make His face shine upon us. Selah. It means, think about that for a moment. Let's think about that. God bless us. Then He says, so that Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among the nations. And what David is saying here, guys, he says, if you want to be a blessing, then you first need to be blessed yourself. Look at that. He says in verse 2, he says, God, please bless me so I can take Your ways unto the nations, God. Please bless me, God, so I can announce Your salvation, God, unto wherever. So guys, David understood why God wanted to bless him. It was not primarily for himself only. It was for others to experience God through his life. That's the call God wants for all of us today. Yes, God wants to bless you personally, but it's for more than that. It's for the glory of God in the nations. Amen? Look at the second example, the prayer of Jabez. And you'll see the same thing. First Chronicles 4 says, and Jabez called unto God and says, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that You would bless me, God, and enlarge my territory, God, that Your hand would be with me and that You will keep me from evil, so that it may not cause me pain. And look at this. And so God granted him his request. Guys, God wants to bless us. And David here, and Jabez here was praying the same thing that David was praying. He says, God, there's a whole world out there, God, that's living without Your blessing. God, bless me, please, so I can go and be a blessing to them, God. They're lost, God, but Your salvation is in me in Christ. I want to go and share hope with them, God. Bless me, please, God. Enlarge my territory, please. Amen? That's what God wants to do. This morning, I want all of us, ask the Lord to bless us in a personal way so we can be a blessing to our families, our friends, our husbands, our wives, our children. Wherever you go, you are the salt and the light of this world. Amen? Guys, the world needs it. You need it. I need it. God needs it. God needs us to be a blessing again. We as the church are no longer going to be a joke in parties. Amen? We're not going to longer be a curse among the nations. God is going to make us a blessing today because He's going to bless us today. Amen? This year is going to be your best year ever. Because the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and adds no sorrow to it. Amen? So today I want to give every one of us an opportunity to invoke a blessing on ourselves and upon somebody else. So please stand with me. So this morning I want to put on your cell phone, forget about your neighbor, and I want you to, in this auditorium, just move out and find a place where you can be alone with God. You know, many times we struggle to do things next to our husband or a wife. It feels uncomfortable. Just move out. There's a lot of room here. I want you to move out. Just for a few moments. This is not going to take long. And as you move out, I want you to reposition yourself before God as a worshiper. As in to receive a blessing from Him this morning. And I want to encourage you, just do whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to do. If it's kneel, then kneel. If it's raising your hands, it's just lying on the ground, whatever God is laying on your heart right now, just do that. Just follow Him. Because this is the first exercise you can do at home. But just find place. Just move out. There's too many people together. Just move out to me. There's a lot of places here. It's you and God now. It's a private moment. And when you are in that place, I want you to do three things for me. First of all, when you're there, I want you to say, God, tell God, God, I'm moving out now by faith, like Abraham did, to a place where you can bless me, God. I'm no longer going to live in this current situation. I'm moving out, God. Here I am, by faith before you, Father. And then secondly, I want you to start thanking God for loving you. Thanking Him and saying, God, I choose today to become a worshiper of you, God. I realize, God, that you want to bless me so I can be a blessing to others. Just start thanking Him in your own words. And lastly, I want you, when you're in that place, I want you then to ask God to bless you in every area and dimension of your life. Ask Him to bless you physically. Ask Him to bless you mentally, spiritually, with your family, financially, in every way. Ask God's blessing upon you. Make like Jabez, say, God, bless me, God. But you call it, you name it, you tell God where He wants to bless you. Ask Him to put His name upon you this morning. Say, God, I'm coming into the covenant of blessing with you, God. Let's do that for a few moments, then I'm going to ask you one more thing to do. Worship you, Lord. We worship you. Jesus, bless us, God, to become a blessing. Oh, how we love you. You are the one hearts adore. Father, this morning, as we as your people, God, we just choose to move out, Lord, to where you can bless us, Father. Lord, it's out of our comfort zone, but yes, Lord, that's where we want to be with you, God. It's by faith we want to live, God. And we come to a place, Lord, we leave the familiar behind us, Lord. We leave the known behind us, God, and we press into the unknown, God, and we ask that you'll bless us. Father, I ask, Lord God, this morning, Lord, that you will help us, all of us, to become worshippers of God again, Lord. Father, this morning we repent of being worshippers by circumstance, Lord. We so easily moan when things are tough, God, and we actually curse ourselves and others, Lord. But, Lord, I pray that you will just come with a new wave of your glory upon us. Help us, Lord God, Lord, to press in, Lord God, and to keep you as our song forever, Lord. Jesus, you are our song. You are sweet-smelling aroma, God. This morning, Lord, I ask that you will bless us in every way, Lord. Father, bless this church financially, God. Bless this church emotionally, Father. Bless families, Lord God, with breakthroughs, God. Bless families, Father God, with just
your success and your favor this year, God, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you will bless us and keep us this year, Lord. God, I ask that you'll bless us and make us make your face to shine upon us, Lord. I ask, God, that you'll give all of us your peace, Father, your shalom, Lord. Father, I declare, Lord God, that there's an open heaven over every single one of us this year, God. This year, we're never going to feel separated from you again, Lord. Father, I thank you for your favor upon us, Lord. I just ask, bless us with your favor, God. And God, as a priest, I declare over your people, God, this will be the best year for many of us, Lord. For all of us. In every way, God. I declare, God, this will be the richest year of our lives, Lord. Spiritually, financially, emotionally, God, it will be the richest year of our lives. God, Lord, may the fat of heaven just drip upon our lives again, Father. God, I ask, God, Lord, I declare, God, that this year for many of us will be the healthiest year, God. Even though the outward man perished, the inward man will be renewed from day to day, God. I declare it will be the healthiest years in every way, Father God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We worship you, Jesus. Okay, this morning, the last thing I want you to do before you leave, 1 minute, I want you to go to somebody that you don't know well. Okay? And I want you to go to them and speak a blessing. I want you to pray over somebody. This is where you're going to activate the prophetic decree. Okay? You're going to go to somebody. Don't talk. Stand with them. And like Isaac, smell what God is showing you. Smell. Holy Spirit, smell. And then whatever comes in your heart, just start to pray over the lives. We trust God for lives to be changed this morning by the spoken word of God. Amen? Let's do that. Just go to somebody and make turns, okay? To pray for one another. It can be male to female, you know, if we are short of partners. But just move out. Just bless somebody before you go. And speak a blessing over them. Invoke the blessing over them before we end. Please, let's find a partner. No. We're not praying on our own now. We're praying for somebody else, or you're receiving prayer. So please go. Please go. Let's do that. Thank you, Lord, for prophetic activation in this church, God. Thank you for the mind of Christ, Lord. Please. Let's smell what the Holy Spirit is showing us. You.
Make turns if you can. Keep it short. Make turns.